Just to backtrack a little bit to something we discussed a couple of shiurim ago, where we're talking about the Melacha of Zorah and the Machlokas Rashi and Rosh Bava Kama Daf Samech, as to whether the Gemara's suggestion there that the difference between Zorah and Nezikin as far as the Chi of the Malkum Grama, is that reflective of something unique to Melacha Zorah, or is that reflective of Melacha Shabbos in general, that Melachas Mashavas after Torah could be a general Mechayiv in situations where in other areas of Halacha something may be considered an act of Grama. And I think Gabe asked the question, if that's the case, then how does that square with other instances where clearly Grama is Mutar on Shabbos, Gram Kibbutz being the most salient example, the Sugya and Daf Kuf Kuf. So I just want to come back to that a little bit, because I thought we'd talk about it sometime later, but it makes sense, I think, just to address that a little bit now. That is basically how the question is framed. If you assume that Melachas Mashavas Atzer Torah is Mechayiv, even B'Malkum and ostensibly would be Grama, then where does Gram Kibbutz fit? So Rosh Hashanah has a piece about this, Bikvei Ason Simon Zayin out of this, but this comes up in that piece, and what Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Rav in terms of his understanding of Grama. But the starting point is this very issue, and that is, Rav Shechter quotes from the Orchatz Chaim Sapinka, Simon Shin Lamed Dalid, Os Yudalid, Shin Lamed Dalid, Os Yudalid, the quotes a tshuva of the Zera Emes Simon Mem Dalid. Zera Emes Simon Mem Dalid is talking about some kind of rudimentary firefighting mechanism, where the way he describes the Metzius, it sounds like there is this big tank of water, and there are hoses attached to the big tank of water, and you need a lot of people to lift up the tank and to move it in such a way that the water gets pumped up to the hose, and then someone else is using the hose to extinguish a fire. So the question is whether Jews could, or what would the status be, if Jews were to be the ones lifting up this big tank of water, but not the ones actively putting out the fire, holding the hose. Is that Grama? Was that Shinayim Shasu? Where does that fit in? So in the course of that discussion, he addresses this question, and he suggests the following distinction, that Grama is Mutter B'Shabbos, like the situation of Gram Kibbutz, where there is a clear time delay between the action that you're doing and the resultant Malacha. So if you have a fire that's burning, and you put down units of water such that sometime later the fire will meet the water and become extinguished, so that's a kind of time delay where that's a Gram Kibbutz that is Mutar on Shabbos, as opposed to the case of Zorah Ruach Mitzayaso. So that's a situation where the Ruach is there and present and being effective from the get-go. That's a Koach Acher Me'urabo, but that's not what we call Grama in the more classic sense. So that's a Koach Acher Me'urabo, where the Koach Acher is there and present at the time that you throw the grain up into the wind. Your action alone of throwing the grain won't accomplish a Malacha without the assistance of the wind, but the Koach of the wind is there at the time that you are doing the act of Zorah.
So according to that, if you have an oil candle and you remove some of the oil, that'd be Gram Kibbutz?
According to that, if you have an oil candle and you remove some of the oil, maybe that would be Gram Kibbutz. Okay. So that's the distinction of the Zera Emes between a Koach Acher Me'urabo, where the Koach is present at the time, and Gram Kibbutz, where there is a time delay. Shuas Beis Yitzchak has something similar, Aruch Chaim Siman Nun Zayin, in which he talks about the permissibility of sending a telegraph on Shabbos. But Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav a different distinction in terms of Grama. So he quotes from the Rav, or he quotes, that the Rav didn't think that this distinction between time delay And the lack of Tamilei is definitional within Grumba on Shabbos. After all, if you light a fire on Erev Shabbos, and that fire is going to affect something on Shabbos itself, so even though there's a time delay between your lighting the fire and the effect of the fire, but that's the sugya in the second parak of Avakami, Yisho Mishem Chitzov, the Nebuchad Yosef, that if you say Yisho Mishem Chitzov, that's considered to be that everything is miyuchas to the person that lights the fire, nebo yo. So the Nebuchad Yosef doesn't say that's called Brahma because you're lighting the fire now and it's going to burn something later. That's considered, it's permissible because Yisho Mishem Chitzov means that the whole Maizis Mitziachis to you now on Erev Shabbos. So Rosh Hashanah quotes in the Rav a different distinction, that if the Koach Acher is present at the time that you're doing your action, so by Zorah, the Koach Acher is there, that's Mesiachis to the person doing the Malacha. As opposed to in the case of Gram Kiboy, so there, the Koach Acher, the effect that's going to create the Malacha, doesn't exist at that point. The meeting between the fire and the water, that isn't ba'olam at the time that you light that you put out the water. So it's not a function of time delay. It's a function of is the koach acher present now or not. So when it comes to Zohar v'ruch mesiyaso, both of these approaches essentially are saying that the koach acher is present at the time that you throw the grain into the wind, but the question is, what's different about Gram Kibbe? Is what's critical about Gram Kibbe, the reason that's a permissible Grama, because it's a time delay, which would be more of a reason to permit various kinds of Grama switches and mechanisms, or is it that the result is not inevitable, in essence, that the Koach Acher isn't there at the time that you perform your Pu'ula, which would cause them to be more skeptical about those types of Grama implements.
Yeah, we may have even said this earlier, but that would mean if it's like a windy day, but for 1 second it stops being windy and you throw the grain up then, but that's not, and then it starts being windy and blows it away, that wouldn't be Malacha of Zorah?
That may not be a Malacha of Zorah. That may be a Malacha of Borah. That was your question. If you throw something without any wind, but the velocity of what you throw causes the same reaction, so I'm still not sure, but at least if it's not Zohar, it should be Boer, meaning there is an action that is causing the separation of the chaff from the wheat, whether that's Boer or Zohar, I'm not sure, but maybe an Achnami, yeah. Okay, fine. If you look at Minchas Asher has a piece on this, who also describes these approaches, Simon and above. Yeah, no?
And that's what's the difference between the Ruah and the Mayim, because the Maisa, both of those, Ruach and Mayim, are that which does the Malacha.
The Ruach is there. When I throw it into the wind, the Ruach is there.
So when the fire is spreading, the water is there too.
But there's no Shaykhut between the water and the fire.
So that, meaning that's it, meaning whether or not
The Koach Acher, whatever causes the Malacha to happen, isn't Ba'olam, isn't there at the time that I put out the water.
I'm not understanding. There's just the wind and the water both affect the malacha. They affect
the wind is creating the malacha. The water, I have fire here and water here, and they have no shaking to each other. Over time, the fire is going to go and hit the water. But there's nothing in existence now that is causing that malacha to take place. When I throw it into the wind is in existence, and that's causing the malacha to take place.
So what would be the parallel by the Gram Kibbe case to make it call after Rabo, if I...
The power would be putting the water on the fire. Okay, so let's go back to Borer, and we began discussing the parameters of La'altar. heter performed what otherwise would be an act of boer for immediate use. The Mordechai that we quoted last time has a lashon that lecho la'achar sha'a, that if you are performing the act in order to eat, to benefit from your act of boer after a sha'a, nasa kabor la'ota. That's ki'ilu, that's the halachic equivalent of being boer maniach, being boer and leaving it for later use. Rabbi Eider points out, tshuva yugimel to Ramosha, the Iri has a similar lashon, basically dalet and mevez, the Iri basically dalet and mevez, la'niach la'achar sha'a. So the postman discuss, how literal is this shah meant to be taken? Does it mean the shah like a 60-minute hour, like a shah's manis? Is there any significance to that terminology of shah as being the barometer of when is something considered to be la'alter? So the Igle Tal takes it pretty literally. The Igle Tal Sukkotan Tassidy assumes that, yeah, shah is an hour, and you could perform any act of borer within an hour of its intended use. Rabbi Eider, in his Tshuvas to Ramosha, Tshuva Yugimel, he asked Ramosha, is that the case? Can you rely on this lakula that any act of boer would be permissible, assuming that it's biyad, often with apsalis, etc., that any act of boer with the other criterion are in place would be permissible as long as it's performed within an hour, even 55 minutes, of when you're going to need the result? And Ramosha writes, that's not the case. It's not to be taken literally. It doesn't mean a literal hour. It means the amount of time that one reasonably needs to prepare to perform the boer in advance of its use. So when a person prepares whatever food they need for the meal, so immediately before the meal, if there's going to be brayer involved in putting out the silverware, if there's going to be brayer involved in taking stuff out of the fridge or making a salad, then whatever amount of time before the suda you need to perform that would be mutter, but more than that, not. So that could be a kula, that could be a chumrah. It could be, in some situations, you may need more than an hour, and perhaps that would be permissible. In some situations, there's no hetter to do it more than 5 minutes before, because that's all you need. Yossi?
I'm just going to ask,
it could be a kula, it could be a chumrah. But you're saying that don't take an hour literally, that's not what this is about. It means the amount of time right before a meal that a person reasonably needs in order to make those preparations.
Is there like a limit to that? If it's taking 3 hours?
Yeah, so give me a second, we'll get there. Okay. Rabbi Karp, page Tavkuf Sadi Gimel, quotes the same from Rabbi Yashiv. In the Sefer Ayil Meshulash, which we'll be quoting many times, Ayil Meshulash al Hilchos Boer, called Ayil Meshulash al Shein Rashi Tevos of Aleph for La'alter, Yud for Yad, and Aleph for Ochmi Topsolis, Yud for Yad, and Lam for La'alter. Written by Rabbi Nachum Aryeh Schlesinger, 1984. Subsequently, he came out with a volume on Lash, a volume on Ma'amer, but I guess he called it Ayil Meshulash because he liked the title, but his first volume was on Boer, and it's called that for that reason. So, he quotes from Rav Yashiv, exactly what Avigdor just asked, that this could even be a kula. If a person is making a massive meal and they need hours, whatever that situation would be, to prepare for the meal. So in theory, even if it takes hours, as long as you're not taking breaks, meaning you can't start and then take an hour break to do something else and come back. But if you legitimately need that time in advance of the Suda, so there's no shear per se, bein l'kula, bein l'chomer. They quote for the Chazon Ish said around a half hour. This is quoted, the Ayil Meshulash quotes this from a Sefer Nachlas Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dushinzer, B'nai Brak, in the section in the back of the Sefer called Ha'arus V'chidushei Dinim, Ost Samach Gimel. So he writes, Sha'alti from the Chazon Ish, So you have a yeshiva dining room, you have hundreds of boys eating the suda, and they're making tzibul. So you have to cut all the onions and the eggs, or the radishes, whatever salad. So Rav Yashiv apparently said, in a chadami, as long as you need, that's what you can take. But quotes Rabbi Dushinzer from the Chazon Ish, Upasha le'iser, Dizel lo mikri samuch l'suda. So he took samuch literally, Arvi psachim samuch l'mincha, a half hour. Kol ish v'ishaya, the kol ish and shayach l'chavero, al ken kol mashem akdim hu iser gomer. Emoto haskel rak le'era chatisha, samuch l'suda. So he says, the only heter is a half hour, literally. So that's a chumrah. Even if you have hours of preparation to do, you still have to do it within a half hour. Yeah, Steven.
Okay, well, that just sounds difficult. But my question is, I got my question. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Shmir Shabbos quotes, Perek.
Oh yeah, sorry. If you're cutting out vegetables, that's not necessarily Torah in the first place. If you just cut up a tomato, it's not
over. Right, we're talking about where... Okay. Oh, Taka. So he...
You're right.
So in the particular... The particular Shaila he was asking was about Tochen. If you assume that there has been Tochen La'alter, which is questionable, so if you assume that there has been Tochen La'alter, so he's talking about La'alter in that context, but it's the same definition of La'alter. Meaning, La'alter is definitely mutter by Boer. This question, the Rashba, is a mutter by Tochen. I'm talking when I get to Tochen. But he's assuming, thanks for pointing that out, I should have clarified that. He's assuming in the question that we're being makel to allow for Hector La'alter for Tochen, so then, but the definition of La'alter will be the same.
This doesn't have to be Tochen if you're doing like big pieces.
You're talking about small pieces. Wherever La'alter applies, the point is, the point is the Chazon Ish thought that the altar has to be within a half hour, and that is meant as a chumrah. Shmir Shabbos, Perek Gimel, Ha'ara, Reish Tes, in the new edition. So he writes in the text that you're allowed to be Boris Samach L'Suda, even if the Suda is going to last for a number of hours, and even if you're making dessert. So the heter is, you can do whatever preparation necessary for the Suda, Samach L'Suda, even if the Suda itself is going to take a number of hours. Says, footnote, Reish Tes. So you don't have to worry about a chana either, that the heter of bor applies there also. You don't have to worry, even if the shalashiv is going to go into the nighttime, you don't have to worry that that is a potential hachana problem either. Aaron.
Just because Rabbi mentioned even if he was doing bor for dessert,
yeah.
Some people have a practice to bench before dessert in order to get out of brachos shaylos for whether you make a bracha rishon on dessert. If one,
that probably makes more problems than it solves, but we're learning Shabbos, not brachos.
So if one had that practice and one benches before dessert, does that then break the tzeirah between dessert and the some of the suda? Because not longer the suda, you're basically saying...
Well, if you're going to bench before dessert, so you have to have a hefsek before you have the dessert, otherwise it's a brachah, in which case, so then that's definitely a new meal, and probably would not be mother. I think, yeah. Okay. So then, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman as follows, that... let's say you need to borrow something from a friend. So you're borrowing we'll talk about whether Brewer applies to Svarim, but if it does, so you have a Sefer that's in a pile of Svarim, you have a Kli that's in a pile of Kalim, you have a food that's in a pile of food, whatever the situation of the Tarovas is where there's an active Boer, so you want to borrow something from your friend. You're not going to use it till later, but your friend's going out for lunch and he won't be available to lend it to you later. So is that considered la'alter if I'm not going to need it for another 4 hours, but I know that I can only access it now and not later? So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying by Rav Neuvert That's also considered la'alter, because their la'alter is defined based on the lender and not based on the borrower. So even if the borrower intends to use it later, but from the lender's perspective, he's only available to give it to him now. So then that's mutter, and it's not the responsibility of the lender to ask the borrower when he intends to use it. And if someone knocks on your door and asks, did I borrow something? And there's an act of grayer involved in accessing that item that he wants to borrow. So for some of the Zalman said, you don't have to ask questions, when are you going to use it? From your perspective, he's asking for it now. So from your perspective, that's considered to be la'alter. He also says that as far as the heter of samach l'seuda, that even if we're going to be makel against the chazon ish, that whatever amount of time you reasonably need to prepare, you're allowed to prepare before the seuda, but it has to be samach l'seuda, because you can't ask your daughter who wants to go to shul to make Boer-related preparations, and then go to Shul, and then come back before the Suda. That's not considered to be Samuch L'Suda. And on the first point, about asking the neighbor to borrow something, the Orach HaShabbos quotes from Rav Yashiv, the Rav Yashiv was called on Shlomo Zalman, Orach HaShabbos page Kuf Mem Ches, Rav Yashiv thought, no, that their La'alter should be defined based on the user also, and then I guess according to Rav Yashiv, if someone wants to borrow something, and there's an active borrower involved, you would have to ask when that person intends to use it to make sure that it's considered to be le'alter. Shmir Shabbos, yeah.
Regarding the how immediate it has to be, so let's say somebody is preparing for the Suda, but they know they're going to have to use the restroom before the Suda. Would that break the
law? I think that's fine. I mean, it's you don't have to go nonstop and not breathe in the middle, but it's the reasonable amount of time that you take. I mean, you can't do the preparations, then go learn for half hour, then go for a walk. It has to be samuch. But if it's a 2 minute distraction, that I don't think that's a problem.
Even if you knew Meirosh, that wouldn't happen.
If you knew, so that'd be a violation of Baal Teshachzu to not go to the bathroom when you know.
Well, that's assuming that it reached the level of Baal Teshachzu.
Okay. Fine. I think that would be okay. So then, Shmir Shabbos was another kula. Sif Memdal is all in Perek Gimel. He writes that, let's say you have guests for Shabbos, and you're peeling vegetables. So assuming that you're peeling vegetables that are subject to boer, which we'll talk about, but if it's you're preparing some kind of food that involves boer in the preparation, and you know that they're only going to eat a certain quantity, but when you have guests, you don't put out the exact number of pieces that the guests are going to eat. Yeah, you put out more, because that's just accepted protocol when you have guests. So if you're doing it, he says, the cup of the guests, then even if you're really being goer more than you absolutely need, but that's considered litzorech and la'alter, that would permit that act of boer. Even if you know full well that the guests aren't going to eat everything, he thinks that would be permissible. He's not sure what if you're not doing it for them to eat at the meal, but you want to send them a seder l'derech, and they're going to eat it later, so he's not sure if that's considered to be la'alter. Shmir Shabbos is also makel on the following in Sif Ayin Gimel. Let's say you're peeling onions, and the onions will taste better if they're left out unpeeled for longer. So, assuming that's true, I can't speak to that from experience, but if that's the case, then if you leave out the onions unpeeled for longer, then they taste better, and that would also be considered Le Sorech, and that would be included in the heter of La Alter.
What's the difference between Rosh Hashanah's heter for a borrower and Seder L'Derech?
The difference would be that as far as the borrower is concerned, it'll be used right away. You don't have to ask questions, but the Seder L'Derech, you know it's not going to be used right now.
But let's say it's obvious to the lender that the borrower has to go home first.
So if it happens to go home, that's probably all Bechlal Altru. The question is if he's only going to use it 3 hours later. So if you know for sure, I think Rosh Hashanah would say, if you know for sure that the borrower is only going to use it 3 hours later, and you'll be around 3 hours later for him to borrow it, then it probably wouldn't be mutter to give it to him.
I don't understand. What's the difference between Tid L'Darach, where the person has to get to the location before he eats the food, and the person that's knocking on the door has to take the item and go home first and to use it?
So I guess it's odd to say that there's a difference is when it comes to the Tzeda L'Derech. No, so that's what I'm saying. If you know that the guy's not going to use it now, I think there's someone's on would say, you can't give it to him. Okay. Shmuel Shabbos also writes, Sif Pei Aleph, the same heter is true, that just like he says, you could peel the onions even if you're not going to eat them right now because they'll taste better later. So let's say you have drinks in the refrigerator that are bitarova, so there's going to be an active bower to remove the one that you want, but you want it to cool off before you serve it. Or you have something in the freezer and you want it to melt before you serve it. So Shlomo Zalman thought that's also considered to be la'alter, that would be mutter. So says Rabbi Riviat as well. In the Orach HaShabbos, he writes that Rishon Mazalman is closer from this. Because he points to what Shmuel Shabbos writes in the Miluim. But then, if you look in Chelek, the Madura Shlishis that we have, which incorporated the Miluim, he didn't change it in the text. So I'm not sure, when all the dust settles, if you really see from the final version of Shmuel Shabbos that Rosh Hashanah Zalman was chozer, but Rosh Hashanah's quotes from Rav Yashu, Rav Yashu is machmer on this, that there's no heter of doing borer to remove drinks from a freezer or refrigerator to cool off if you don't need them right now. You can do it for hours later. So quotes the Adam Lashulash from Chaim Kanievsky and from Nissen Karelitz, although he has the following Esa, that let's say you want to remove the drinks to cool off, but you're not going to use it until later, so that might be an act of bower. But if you take the bottle out and then use it to crack a walnut, so then that becomes a permissible immediate use, and it would be mutter to do it that way, or drink from it, meaning you really only want to serve it a few hours later. But if you have a cup from it now, then you're using it now, and that should definitely be mutter.
Yes. Assuming that Shlomo Zalman wasn't closer on the onion case, what would the difference be between the cases?
I don't think there should be a difference. I don't think he quotes Rabbi Yashiv talking about the onions, but presumably it would be the same idea.
I don't know if these are like appropriate questions for this point, but like, what's the brera of peeling an onion and of taking a drink out of the freezer?
So we'll get to that, yeah.
And if you really don't want that drink, right, and you're only doing it for the Haram Shabbat, that's... it gets rid of the Isra?
It's hard to call that a... even if it is Haram, but Lamaisa, you're using it in a permissible way. So I don't think we view that as Haram. Especially if something that's Bechol Gitafosim anyway.
I mean, it's derech achila, so it's not you're eating. So how? That's not. It's not for derech achila. You're eating. Why is that?
Well, in the big picture, there's an element of aroma because you wouldn't have taken the drink if you didn't need to do it for lachi reasons. But at the end of the day, that's permissible use. Okay. There's a mashmos in the Beis Yosef that we quoted last time. The Beis Yosef that quotes from Eddie Rucham, that has the wild kula when it comes to the shear of la'alter, that you could do anything that you need for the next 8 hours until the next meal. So the way the Beis Yosef presents it, there's a mashmos that if let's say you intend to use something to eat something la'alter, and you're boer with the intention of eating it la'alter, and then you change your mind and you don't end up eating it la'alter, that potentially could be a malacha d'oraisa. So that's a tremendous chiddush, because the pashas should have been that everything's nikva based on your intention at the time. If you intend legitimately to use a lalt and then something happens, that's going to create a chiyuv chatas mafreya. So that's a big chiddush. The sharitzion sifkatan hey crossing the prima gadim that is bothered by this. The prima gadim writes sarach raya l'dvarav, but still you shouldn't. Meaning you shouldn't put yourself in that situation, or you should avoid it. If you took it out with the intention of using it right now, and then you change your mind, you should still use it right now to avoid the potential shiloh. Okay. We had discussed last time that at least one approach to the general framework of Borer is that the carve-outs, the situations of heter, are predicated on a notion of derech achila, that which is done in the context of derech achila is not a violation of boer, is not a malacha. So there may be situations in which we'll define something as derech achila in such a way that it doesn't even require the presence of all three conditions of the ayil meshulish conditions. So for example, The Sefer Kovetz on the Rambam, Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Beis, writes, all of the Daiti, that if you're holding B'Shas Achila, then Bor is Mutter even Psoles Mito Ha'ocha. That B'Shas Achila Mamish, you could even be Borer Psoles Mito Ha'ocha. So that's what Mishabura talks about in Be'er Halacha 2 Se'if Dalid. Be'er Halacha Dibur Maskel HaBorer. He quotes that the Birka Yosef presents as a Machlokes Achronim, the earlier Achronim, whether you could be Borer Solos Mitoch Ochel B'Shas Achila, and the Be'er Halacha writes, he thinks this is Machlokas Rishonim. What's a Machlokas Rishonim? The Ramban in Ar Sugya Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The stage on the Gemara is maybe we're talking about a Hesher is Lebo Bayom. So Gemara says, Lechimotu Levash Lebo Bayom. Then the Gemara says, maybe the Hesher we're talking about is Pachas Mikashir. Says the mutter to do malacha pachas mikashir. So in that line, says the Ramban, perish misvara kasava rabba she'ein b'borer pachas mikashir chiyuv ka'ofa pachas mikashir. That what's the svara lechalik? Why could you entertain that maybe pachas mikashir by borer is different than pachas mikashir b'kol hilchos Shabbos kula? She'ein derech breyer b'kach. That definitionally, borer less than a shir is not even a chatzis shir borer because it's not derech breira. Ela ka'ochel umatza psoles b'chasicha shu ochel. It's like if you're eating and you find psoles in the piece of food that you're eating, umafrish psoles mitoch ochel hu shemuter. So if you're eating and there's psoles in that which you're eating, removing the psoles from that ochel would be heter gomer.
Removing
the psoles not to eat. You're eating a piece of whatever. You find psoles in that piece of whatever, and you want to remove the psoles before you eat, or as you're eating the piece of whatever, the Ramban says that would be mutter. Mishabru understands the Ramban, it doesn't mean that it's in your mouth and now you're spitting out the psoles. Even if you're holding it in your hand and you're about to eat it, and you see psoles, the Mishabru understand the Ramban, that it would be mutter to remove the psoles samuch l'achila mamish. That's the Mishabru understand the Ramban. Chazanish argues, Chazanish, the beginning of Siman Nadal, he says, no, the Ramban's talking about where it's in your mouth and then you spit it out. So that's derech achila. It's in your mouth and you have psoles, and you spit the psoles out, you take the psoles out of your mouth, that's definitely mutter. But if it's not yet in your mouth, then that's subject to the regular rules and regulations of Borer, and you can't be Borer Psalas Mitoka Ochal, even if it's in your hand, about to go into your mouth. If Mishabur didn't understand that way, Mishabur understood the Rambam was saying something more expansive, that even Samach Lachila, there's a heter of Soles Mitoch Ha'ochal.
The heter is the
derech
achila,
wasn't
it, because of
the apple? The heter is... That's derech achila. Again, we explained the Mishabura goes with the derech achila approach to... That's the whole basis of the heter of the altar anyway. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Okay. And then he says, the Rush argues. The Rush, Chuvas HaRush, which is the source for the Din and Sif Tezayim. What's the Din Sif Tezayim? Mayim Sheyesh Behem Tolayim. If you have water with copepods, Mutter Lishtosad Ayidei Mapa Bishavis. So you can drink them with a piece of cloth that's going to strain them out. Delo Shayech Bower Umeshamir Ela B'Mesakein Ha'inyin Kodem Achilo Shesia. Aval Im B'Shas Shesia Ma'akev Esapsoles Shelo Yikanis Letok Biv. So you're drinking water from a cup, and you put a cloth on top of the cup to be misanein the tolayin in the cup of water. The Rav says that is mutter, because that's not considered to be derech breira. So says the Mishabrua, the Rush doesn't say it's mutter because that's b'shas achila. If the Ramban is correct, or if the Mishabrua's reading of the Ramban, if the Rush would agree to the Mishabrua's reading of the Ramban, then the Rush should have said more simply that there's no problem of being Borer Solas Mitocha Ochel B'Shas Achila. The Rush doesn't say it. The Mishabrua thinks the Rush doesn't subscribe to this Kula of the Ramban. And bottom line, the Bar Halacha things have to be Machmir because it's a Machlokes Rishonim, a Chashash Daraisa, and you have to be Machmir, but he does present it as a Machlokes Rishonim. This comes up as well in the end of Siman Shin Kaf Aleph. We spoke about this when we were talking about Dash. Rama writes at the very end of Shin Kaf Aleph, Aser Liklof Shumim Uvesalim Kishakolif Laniach. So you're not allowed to peel garlic and onions if you're peeling it for later use. Avalechol Alter Shari, but you're allowed to peel it for immediate use, says the Mishabrura. So here they're must talking Mishum Boer. Says the Mishabrura Peidalit, Shumim Ubisalim, who are then tapuchim that goes to Mishkeid Mechayosi Zeth. So any other kind of fruit with a similar kind of peel. The imposeach haplumin, the zorek hagarinim hakashim laniach lakas man havi boer. And if you're opening a plum and you're throwing out the pit for later use, that's boer. Ubetapuchim chiyagam yeshomer gamkind aser aval miad lepeh shari litain. But if it's miad lepeh, if you're doing it straight into your mouth, that's mutter. The after aflos the suda shari. So the Mishabrua says there's a heter here of miyad lepet. Says the Sharitzian, Sadiches, Kanal b'simin shin yatesif tesayis. That's the Rush that we just Zuntai noted about straining the water. Kakas of a prima gadim. Below oven rayasol the niyasaiti. Ayin le'el siftal berlacha yiramastol ha'gorer. So that's the berlacha we just saw. So what's the Mishabrua doing here? In berlacha we just saw in Shinya test, Mishabrua says that he thinks machlokes achron machlokes we shown him is there a heter of solz mitoch ochel. For if you're going to eat it immediately, samach lachila, and he thinks you have to be machmir. Here, sounds like we're talking about the same idea. that you're moving a peel, which would be psalas mitol ka'ochal. And here the Mishabura says, miyad lepeh is mutter. Now, what's the Prima Gadim that he's referencing in the Sharetzim? Prima Gadim, the end of Shinkof Aleph, Eshel Avram, Sivkat and Lamed. Shinkof Aleph, Eshel Avram, Sivkat and Lamed. So, the Prima Gadim writes, he adds one phrase that the Mishabura didn't quote. He says, Niyad, if you're going to take out the pit or remove the peel for immediate use, Lo mi bai nosin lepeh shari. So if you're going to eat it right away, that's mutter. Kibasimen shin yutes sifta zayin by the water. Af bo suda shari be'efshar. Maybe it's even mutter for that suda. De'i efshar binyan acher lo habib solos me'ochel. It is a situation of efshar binyan acher. There's no other way to eat it. Then it's going to be mutter, even psalas mitol ha'ochel. So it's the kind of thing that the only way to access the fruit is to remove the peel. So even though ostensibly there might be an act of removing psalas ha'ochel, but if it's the yavshar binyan acher, that's going to be mutter. And that's what the Berlacha talks about here in Shinkaf Aleph, Dibur Maskil Liklov. I am a Shabura that there is a problem with Bar when it comes to peeling. The cave of the Kolif, Bechlau Bar, who lives our field, Lachal Alter. If we're talking about Bar, so why isn't there an Isser even Alter? Then we should call it Tapucha Mishumim Misal, no till Psalzim and Yacha Ochel. The Friday is Farley Elvis and Chin Yatas, Psalzim Tok Ochel, Phil Altra Skayev. The near the came the Yavshav and Yanacher. The Derechachi Loss of the Kach, Lomiki Psalzim Tok Ochel. If there's no other way around it, the only way you could get to the fruit is by removing the peel. That's not called, and that's the Derechachi La, that's not called Psalzim Tok Ochel. She'eno Ela Lechol Hatoch. Because you will alter Shari. So if it's a Yashav Inyan Acher, then that should be mutter, even if it's ostensibly removing Psalas from Ocha. Yassi?
Just two questions. First of all, shouldn't that seemingly not apply to the plum pits? Because there it would be after, you could just eat around the pit.
Okay, hold on there for a second. Yeah, second.
And then the other question, it would seem weird in the Prima Gadim that he's, if you would, the way the Bir Halacha understands when it's Yavshar Binyan Acher and it's Derech Achila, it would
right.
Be mutter even Ma'alter, so you wouldn't require, specifically where it's Miyah, the Piv, it would be a broader Heter, even Ma'alter. So it's like the Prima Gadim is...
No, I think he's saying that's the Ma'alter that we're talking about, meaning we're not going to be Ma'alter, if the Yavshar Binyan Acher, where matir really, really samach l'achila. So in a chanami, the standard, if you're eating a plum, so you're not pitting plums to serve them at the table. The normal way of doing that is immediately before you eat. So that's the la'alter of eating plums.
I think when the Bir Halacha brings it down, he just brings a normal. He doesn't mention anything about it. Bir Halacha about Miyad Lepeh. He just mentions a regular Shila Alter. So it could be he's just taking it further than the Prima Gadim.
Well, the Prima Gadim the Prima Gadim says it's Pasha that it's Mutter Miyad Lepeh. And maybe it's even Mutter Lo Susud, and that's what the Mishabura calls in Peidalit. So at the base, so you're right. I mean, at the base, he's saying it's going to be mutter miyad lepeh, and maybe once we're saying that's the derech achila and that's the normal way of doing it, and the yavshar binyan acher, so maybe that'll even be matir or border l'alter. Right, that's how the Prima Gadim says it.
But then, if the Mishabura himself to bring down, meaning when the Mishabura is willing to bring down miyad lepeh, it's because he's willing to say that because you have at least both svaras. You have at least the Ramban and you have Yafshe ben Yenachem, and that's why he is seemingly more mikel by Miyad LePeh. The Mishnah Berurah himself, who was machmer like the Rosh.
Right, but that meaning, but you see that from the Prima Gadim here, which is the source of the Mishnah Berurah, that that's the Derech Achila, where it's the Yafshe ben Yenachem. But if that's not the case, so then we'd be machmir on Tzolos Mitoch Ochel, even Samoch L'Achila. Now, to Yossi's first point, in the Ayel Meshulash, Ha'arah Kaf Beis, he points out that the Hatter Pima Gadim presumably only applies to the kind of a fruit where the normal derech achila is to remove the pit before eating it. So I think what he means in the context of the plum is that you start eating a plum, but then at one point when you get to the pit, you usually remove the pit. You don't eat around the pit. It's not the norm to eat 100% around the pit. I mean, you'll get up to the pit, and then you'll, if it's a Tuesday, you'll get up to the pit, then you'll throw the pit away. So that's the situation where the people got them to say that's the norm. That's the Yafshe ben Yenachem doesn't mean that it's impossible to be bar otherwise. It's that it's not the norm to be bar otherwise. That's the normal derech achila. So if the norm is that you throw out the pit as you're eating it, people God would say, Mishabu would say, that is mutter, as opposed to, let's say if you eat a grape, and there's a grape in the, and there's a grape, and there's a seed in the grape, so then the norm is that you put the whole grape in your mouth and then you spit out the seed. So then it wouldn't be mutter. The heter would apply if you're eating a plum, you're eating a peach, then you could eat the normal way, and then when you get to the pit, throw the pit away. But it wouldn't apply to a grape that you could remove the seed from the grape before eating the grape. You have to eat the grape, and then if there's a seed, then you spit out the seed. That's what the Ayin Meshulash writes. Rabbi Willett thought that was correct. Le halacha. And the Chazon Ish argues, Chazon Ish assumes that no, as long as there is a way of not doing an act that would objectively be borer, then you can't do borer. So when you're eating the plum, you don't have to throw the pit away. You could eat entirely around the pit. So the Chazon Ish would say, in that case, you have to eat entirely around the pit, and there isn't even a hezer of Miyad LePeh Derech Achila. That's not called the Efshar Ve'inyan Achet. The Ayin Meshulash is unsure. What would the Chazon Ish say if you have something that's really Yafshe ben Yenachem, that there's no way other than to remove something? How far would the Chazon Ish go? And he quotes that as a machlokas of the later B'nai Brak poskim. So, yeah.
Chazon Ish has to contend with the case of Shum Batal, where that's the Mishnah Berurah's, I guess, most...
Well, he's arguing on the Mishnah Berurah.
Sorry?
He's arguing on the Mishnah Berurah.
No, but I'm saying, in that case, that's Lechora Yafshe ben Yenachem, like, really Yafshe ben Yenachem. So there, the Chazon Ish must, and the Ramah says, Efshar L'Klof L'Haniach. I mean, sorry, not L'Klof out there. So there, clearly, the Chazon Ish has to hold that that's Mutter. Unless he disagrees with the Ramah.
No, that would be mutter, correct. If you have a case, I guess he's talking about a case where he's writing about watermelon, but I'm not sure if watermelon is really Yafshe ben Yenachem. We'll talk about watermelon in a second. Yes, I'm not sure exactly what the other tzir would be where that might be relevant. But the Ayin Meshulash assumes that according to the Prima Gadim, if that reading of the Prima Gadim is correct, that any time that the normal way of eating something is to remove the pit before eating it, even if it's possible to eat it without removing the pit first, But if that reading of the Prima Gadim is correct, then it should be mutter to, if your normal way of eating watermelon would be to remove the seeds as you're eating it, that should be mutter. Just by way of survey, how many people on a weekday when you eat watermelon will remove the seeds before eating the watermelon? And most people just spit out the seeds?
Eat the seeds.
Eat the black seeds?
No.
But you just buy seedless watermelon. But if you're to have real watermelon with seeds, how many people would take them out first and how many people would spit them out?
They don't really sell watermelons.
Yeah, they do.
I haven't had one.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah, I've been seeing one. They definitely do. Okay. Sorry, our survey is not being that helpful. But leaving that aside, so the Adam Lashulash assumes that according to the Prima Gadim, if normally, I don't know, it depends on your normal or the Velt's normal, but if the normal way of eating watermelon would be to remove the seeds before eating it, even if there are other ways around it, so then it should still follow according to Prima Gadim. That would be mutter on Shabbos as well, because that's considered to be the Derech Achila, and the Prima Gadim's he afshar v'inyan acher. Whereas according to the Chazon Ish, as long as there's a way of doing it otherwise, then you have to do it otherwise. So then you'd have to eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. That's going to be mutter l'kuliyama. That's during Achila Mamish. Then he quotes from this in Karelis that even according to the Chazon Ish, we'll talk about this b'amshech when it comes to removing psoles together with ochel, that if you were to remove a chunk of ochel together with the seeds, that would be mutter according to everyone also. But if you want to have all the watermelon at the seeds, then according to the Chazon Ish, you should have to spit out the seeds. Ramosha in Shuvah Zion to Rabbi Eider. So Rabbi Eider asked both about bones and fish and about seeds and watermelon. So Ramosha assumed that it's definitely better to eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. But if you have a little kid where that's dangerous to do and not practical, so then for that little kid, it should definitely be considered a yafshar v'inyan acher, and it would be permissible to remove the seeds before eating the watermelon or remove the bones from the fish. Shmir Shabbos also writes in Sif Yitzayin that the best thing to do when eating watermelon is, best thing to do is buy seedless watermelon. The next best thing to do, if you have seeds in your watermelon, is to eat the watermelon and spit out the pits. If you don't want to do that, he says you can shake the pits off samach l'achila. But if a person removes the pits, so yesh lo al mi lismoch, namely that understanding of the Prima Gadim.
This might be like Yossi's question. Are we assuming there's a difference between the Mishnah Berurah's yesh v'inyan acher and the Prima Gadim's? Because for the Mishnah Berurah, the Torah, it should really be ma'alter, meaning l'sha or whatever you think ma'alter is.
No, I mean, in a Hanami, that would be true both. Mishru is working off the Bima Gadam. It would be true that the Bima Gadam also entertains that it would be mutter even in classical altar, not just Samach L'Achila Mamish. Okay, I think practically speaking, when we're talking about watermelon or fruits that you're removing seeds or bits from, it's not normal to prepare that ahead of time before you're actually eating it. Okay. Ramosha discusses famous tshuva arachayim chelag aleph siman kuf kafei. Chelag aleph siman kuf kafei. Are there borer implications for rinsing fruit on Shabbos if you have dirty fruit on Shabbos? Yuvais Tishrei Tashin Yud Gimel. Tshuva written to Rabbi Yamin Sugar, long time, passed away during COVID, I think, a long time first grade rabbi at MTJ, who at the time was learning in Beis Medrash Elyon in Mansi. So, a baseline, the assumption is that if you mamish have fruit that's mamish dirty, that potentially would be subject to boer if you're trying to remove the dirt. But then he says, maybe that's considered derech achila, la'alter, just like you can peel fruits, derech achila la'alter, maybe you can wash fruits, derech achila la'alter. And the norm is that you only wash them before you go and eat them. And anyway, he says, most fruits aren't really dirty. If you're washing them, it's just, he writes, li'yisar in ba'alma, because plenty of people would eat fruit even without washing it. Don't tell your mothers. And then he says, maybe there's a difference between soaking it or putting it in a tub and rinsing it under the faucet. And putting it in a kli with water, maybe that's more of a ma'aseh borer, as opposed to just putting it under the faucet. But he thinks that definitely is going to be mutter if you're going to wash it under the sink, la'alter. He thinks that definitely should be mutter. That seems to be the consensus of poskim, although Rabbi Karp quotes the Chazon Ish was machmir.
The question is, why do we accept the hatter of the Yeshua after?
The question is, well, is this Bechlal an act of Boer? So Moshe is not sure about that. Number two, for two reasons. Number one, the fruit's probably not dirty, so it's probably not really an act of Boer. And just running it under the faucet may not be a real act of Boer. Plus, it's derech achila, and the normal way of doing it. And the Chazon Ish's skepticism, I assume, is connected to what we quoted before, that there's no, he didn't buy into any expansion of Yesh ben Yenacher. So we quote from the Chazon Ish that you can't wash fruit on Shabbos. So that's not an act of boer at all, because that's really yeshu ben yacher. That you can't. There's no way of accessing the fruit without getting rid of the peel. But anything short of that would be problematic. He quotes here, Funa 48, Chazon Ish paskened that you shouldn't wash fruits on Shabbos. Why should that be so? It's Aruch Ian, based on our analysis till this point. The Chazon Ish is probably Shitasa. that the whole heter of peeling is only where it's mamishi afshar b'ninacher. That's only true by a peel that covers the entire fruit. But if it's a seed, a pit, or a partially covered fruit, then it is afshar b'ninacher. So here too, you could eat the fruit without washing it. Builds immunity. Yeah.
Even the case that I was, as Zershan Makmachi, you could cut the onion in half and then peel off the skin with some onion attached to it. Like, take off the top layer.
I guess the Chazon Ish should say that's. That's too far. That's not. That doesn't bear any resemblance to how you normally would use an onion. Not sure. Okay, so let's talk a little bit now about the second condition of Bayad as opposed to Bakli. Ramosha, Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf, Kuf Dalid, Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf, Kuf Dalid, explains that if you're doing an active boer with a fork or a spoon for convenience purposes, but not because it at all enhances the active brera, that's just considered to be an extension of the hand, that's kiyada richta, that's not considered brera b'kli. So if I want to take a piece of chicken and I don't want to get my hands dirty, so I use a fork instead of my hands, that doesn't make it brera b'kli, that's considered brera b'yad, and the fork is simply an extension of your hand. So writes Minchas Yitzchak, Chelik Aleph, Simen Ayin Vav, Chelik Aleph, Simen Ayin Vav, and that's Shmir Shabbos' formulation in Sif Mem Tes, that a spoon or a fork or knife is considered in that situation like a yada arifta. If there's a piece of meat in a piece of chicken soup, you want to remove the piece of chicken, and you use a fork, that is Brera B'yad, not Brera B'kli. Mishabur writes as well in Sifkata Nun Hei, Shin Yutes Nun Hei, that if you're pouring out of a kli, that's considered to be Brera B'kli, not considered to be Brera. Sorry, that's considered to be Brera B'yad, that's not Brera B'kli, because you're not using the kli per se to do an act of boer. Shmir Shabbos points out there in Kuf Mem Aleph that there are a few times in the Mishabur references using some kind of a kli, Sivkata Nunhei, Sivkata and Samach Bey, Sivkata and Samach Vav, Nunhei, Samach Bey, and Samach Vav. And he says, if you read the Mishabur carefully, you'll see that's the underlying theme, that sometimes it's going to be usher if the fork that you're using is meant to enhance the act of Rera, and sometimes it will be mutter if it's simply an extension of your hand. Shmir Shabbos,
Demeter. Is this like objective standards or like subjective?
I think mostly, it's probably usually objective, meaning if you could tell pretty easily whether you're doing it so you don't get your hand dirty or because it's not socially acceptable to use your fingers, or if you're doing it because that makes the act of brera any better.
I mean, can you say even if it's like a dish of chicken, use your fork? Isn't it still easier to use a fork?
It doesn't. It's not really enhancing the act of brera. You could use your hand just as well.
Pouring out soup.
It's like you can't do a better job.
I'm sorry.
You can't pour out liquids with your hand.
That you can't pour out liquid.
So that was one of the
right. Yeah, but that. But you're not. That's not an act of boer b'kli. You're just pouring out of a kli. That's not using the kli to do an act of boer. Shmir Shabbos writes, Sif Nun Ches. So you're not allowed to strain noodles from water, and you can't put a cover over the pot in order to use it to pour out the water to leave the noodles in the pot. Because there, the pot cover is considered a kli, because you're using that cover to do an act of braver. Aside from the fact that it's also psalos mitokochel in that case, which be us or even the yat. So that's what Shmuel Shabbos writes, that's what Rabbi Eider quotes from Rav Moshe, and the Ayel Meshulash quotes from Rav Yashiv, that using a pot cover to strain or pour out of to keep the contents in is considered Breyer of the Kli. Yeah.
Are you talking about when some pot covers have like holes inside?
No, even that hole.
You're just using the cover.
Yeah. Because you're using it in such a way that the noodles are too big to get out. So
like
that's an act of bore.
It's not like a specialized braver.
It doesn't have to be specialized. It's a midar rice. It has to be a specialized kli. Midar bun, even a non-specialized kli. And the heter is only if it's bayad. So if the kli is an extension of the yad, that's considered yad. If it's enhancing after braira, even if it's not yukalakach, that's considered braira the kli. Rabbi Riviat writes, you're not allowed to use a peeler. That's considered Reira the Kli. That's more effective than a yad in a situation where we're talking about something that's going to be a borer problem. He writes in the footnote that he heard from Rav Moshe, Bishem Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe was master using a peeler, but he writes he couldn't find it in print. So now it is in print, because Rabbi Silka Bonham Cohen writes in the Shabbos Kitchen, or I think this was in print even before Rabbi Rivia came out, that he writes that Rav Moshe was Machu using a peeler. Rabbi Will used to say this even before he heard that Rav Moshe was Machu peelers, but I confirmed with Rabbi Fishalis, David's son-in-law, that in fact Rav Moshe was Machu peelers, and that's the minhag in the Feinstein family. Rabbi Yitzchak Kolodetsky, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's son-in-law, who spent some time in Pesach over the last number of years, fundraising for his mosdos. So one year he was in Pesach for Rosh Hashanah, and he spoke in the Aguda one night of Yontif about various and sundry topics unrelated to each other, things to be conscious of, like not traveling too late on Erev Shabbos. But one of the things he said is not to use a peeler on Shabbos. And he said, you live in America, and Rav Moshe is a Mar Daser America, and Rav Moshe said you can't use a peeler on Shabbos. I don't know where he got that from. Apparently a reliable representation from a family that was Rav Moshe's position. He's more than welcome to say that that's the din, and that's what majority of folks say. But I thought that was curious that he attributed it to Rav Moshe, and I think there's reliable representation that was Rav Moshe's position. Even if it wasn't Rav Moshe's position, it is Shmir Shabbos's position, Sif Lamed Hei, Ayel Meshulash, Perek Zayin, Sif Yotes, B'Shem, Renissen Karelitz. Rabbi Karp, page Tav Kuf Samach Aleph, writes, Ein Lecha Kli B'Yuchel B'Grei Ragodol Mizeh. And the Orach HaShat in Rabbi Karp raises another issue, that maybe even when there's no Breira, maybe it's Ubdin B'Chol. Using a peeler would be uvdin d'chol.
What's the svar to matri?
That's the svar to aser. Even if it's not borer, it's still uvdin d'chol.
Well, what's the svar to matri?
The svar to matri is that it's an extension of your hand. It's a knife.
Obviously, it makes it much easier using a knife.
So it's easier doesn't necessarily mean that it's more of an act of braver. It still can be.
It's like an extension of your hand, it's for convenience.
It's not, right, so it's also for convenience. The fact that it will be faster doesn't.
Why not?
It's also more
effective.
I'm sorry?
Why not a clear that's
me
use on the braver? It doesn't do anything else other than peel stuff.
Peeling is not definitional grammar, there are plenty of situations appealing that's mutter. The appeal of cucumber, if cucumber peels are edible, that's ochel mitoch ochel.
I thought it was
some Rishon or Machmer for ochel mitoch ochel. If something is not desirable, but if you're there are plenty of ofanim, we'll talk about it, but there are plenty of ofanim where it won't be an act of braver.
The
Mishnah Berurah talks about in Sifkat and Memhei, Shinkav Aleph Memhei, the Hakmaster, which is a kli amiyuchad for chopping, which maybe is Ovdin Dachol, so every carved thing, maybe a peel is also Ovdin Dachol. Yeah?
When we're saying Rav Moshe's Mekel, that's Dr. Zichokom Tomsoas.
Whatever's Mutter, it's not considered kli, it's considered Yad, so whatever's Mutter B'Yad would be Mutter B'Peeler. It's like a knife.
A peeler also makes the peeling more efficient and more effective than if you use a knife, because it's
right.
Not very precise.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just say that that's convenience, that it makes it more precise.
Okay, but maybe that's... maybe that still doesn't make a miyuchad for Bauer.
It doesn't have to be miyuchad, so it just has to do it. So we do it, so we do it.
Probably Rav Moshe held that that's really just a knife. That's maybe it's a little more effective, but that's still just a knife. Okay. Fine, let's stop here. And next time on Sunday, Rav Hashem, we'll talk about Breira, the Menechad versus Shnei Minim, and Tarobes. And let's be back here at 5:45 for Shechter. Okay, 5:45 today in this room.